fatal. A flu expert at Vanderbilt University says the study may temper some of the overblown statements on the lethality of bird flu. The highest state criminal court in Texas today denied Congressman Tom DeLay's request that the money laundering charges against him be dismissed or sent back to a lower court for an immediate trial. The Texas Court of Criminal Appeals denied the request with no written order just a couple of days after DeLay announced he was not going to be able to get his job back as House Republican leader. DeLay had been forced to give up that leadership post when he was indicted on money laundering and conspiracy charges on September 28th. DeLay, who denies wrongdoing, had been trying to rush to trial in Texas in hopes of clearing his name and getting that job back. The House now expected to hold leadership elections when the lawmakers return to the Capitol the week of January 31st. Samuel Alito is making his case to join the Supreme Court today. In his opening statement, Alito said, "No one, no matter how powerful, is above the law." The Senate Judiciary Committee opened the confirmation hearing with Democrats asking if Alito is willing to limit the power of the executive branch. Democratic Senator Charles Schumer expressed concern about Alito's strong conservative leanings. Judge Alito also spoke about the justice he would replace, Sandra Day O'Connor, calling the first woman on the high court a pioneer. The current members of the Supreme Court today rejected an appeal of a ruling that allows federal money to be used to place young teachers in religious schools. Lawyers for the American Jewish Congress allege the AmeriCorps grant program has crossed the line between church and state. A federal appeals court ruled last year the government was not using the grants to promote religion, and the Supreme Court let that ruling stand without comment today. Muslim pilgrims preparing for one of the last rituals of the Hajj in Saudi Arabia. The stoning of the devil begins tomorrow before dawn prayers. Tens of thousands of Muslims collecting pebbles near Mecca. Many pilgrims being pushed in wheelchairs, others using crutches. More than 2 million Muslim pilgrims have climbed Mount Arafat to pray for salvation at Islam's most sacred site. This is Air America Radio News. I'm Bill Crowley.
spirits are uplifted any time we go to a school that's working.
Yes, they are. Laura and I, spirits are uplifted anytime we go to a school that's working. We like them working schools. It's about 7 past the hour. Good evening, Truth Seekers. Mike Malloy here on Air America Radio. Thanks for tuning in. We have a real roller coaster for you tonight. So jump in, settle back, fasten your seatbelt. So many flying monkeys to cover, so little time. The hammer, of course, is trying to put a positive spin on what is about to become some serious jail time. Did you see him on Saturday? Raising brains, that would be President Chuckle-Nux, attempts to talk all educational and stuff about his no education program left funded. That was today. Simple Scotty trying to quack and duck reporters' questions about the latest body part to slow off that evil old cyborg, Dick Cheney. Jesus, what is it now, Kathy? His elbow, his foot, what, his foot? His foot came off? Oh, jeez. And the strange anointing at the beginning of the Alito hearings that would have made Ashcroft proud. Today, of course, was just your basic meet and greet, except for a statement that Kennedy made. Real fun starts tomorrow with the questioning. That's when we'll get a chance to see this charade play itself out. But first, Howard Dean appeared on Wolf Blitzer's CNN Sunday talk show and had something to say about the alleged connection between some Democrats and Abramoff, who, by the way, Abramoff just might be the man to bring down DeLay's carefully stacked deck of cards. I want you to hear this. Now, Wolf was in Israel because that's where Wolf belongs, with Ariel Sharon about to croak, or not croak, whatever. You know, I don't know. I don't have a crystal ball. But Wolf is an old friend of Ariel's. Wolf, remember, was the Washington bureau chief of the Jerusalem Post before he signed on with CNN to work 80 hours a day. I'm so sick of his face. I could just scream. You know, people email me and say, "What do you mean he's a former German U-boat commander?" Look. If you don't get it, you don't get it. But every movie made in the 40s about the German U-boats had a guy that looked just like Wolf Blitzer. And his name is German? Never mind. All right, so the Democratic National Committee chairman, Governor Howard Dean, being interviewed by Wolf Blitzer. So the reason I mentioned that Wolf was in Jerusalem is there are some pauses here. That is because of satellite transmission, all right? So listen, sounds like Governor Dean is taking a page from the Malloy handbook on the lie that Abramoff was, as Bush so eloquently put it, equal money to Spencer. You know, we've been telling you for a week now, and I think most everybody else has too, that has the sense God gave a gently stewed rhubarb stalk, which I certainly do, that there was no money that went to Democrats. And still, even Cynthia Tucker, who is the editorial page editor of the Atlanta Journal-Constitution, in today's column, Cynthia is a full-blown liberal, even she, in her column, references money given to Democrats by Abramoff. I've said a million times that our function on this program is not to educate, but boy, don't you just want to send Cynthia an email, Kathy, and say, what the hell is wrong with you? All right, let's listen to it. Starts out with Blitzer. Okay, starts out. Here we go.
Should Democrats who took money from Jack Abramoff, who's now pleaded guilty to bribery charges, among other charges, a Republican lobbyist in Washington, should the Democrats who took money from him give that money to charity or give it back?
There are no Democrats who took money from Jack Abramoff. Not one. Not one single Democrat. Every person named in this scandal is a Republican. Every person in under investigation is a Republican. Every person indicted is a Republican. This is a Republican finance scandal. There is no evidence that Jack Abramoff ever gave any Democrat any money. And we've looked through all those FEC reports to make sure that's true.
But through various Abramoff-related organizations and outfits, a bunch of Democrats did take money that presumably originated with Jack Abramoff.
That's not true either. There's no evidence for that either. There's no evidence.
Senator, what about Senator Byron Dorgan?
Senator Byron Dorgan and some others took money from Indian tribes. They're not agents of Jack Abramoff. There's no evidence that I've seen that Jack Abramoff directed any contributions to Democrats. I know the Republican National Committee would like to get the Democrats involved in this. They're scared. They should be scared. They haven't told the truth. They have misled the American people, and now it appears they're stealing from Indian tribes. The Democrats are not involved in this.
Unfortunately, Mr. Chairman, we got to leave it right there.
Unfortunately, Mr. Chairman, we got to leave it right there because you just showed me to be the dumbest bastard ever to stand in front of a camera on CNN.
Thanks to canofun.com for that audio. If you've not been to canofun.com, go there.
You know, the way the question, thank God Dean stood there and just hammered this evil little white-haired bastard into the ground. You know, the evilness of this. The evilness of Wolf Blitzer, another Republican shill in media. If Blitzer doesn't know that no Democrat got any money from this scum-sucking Abramoff, then he should be fired.
Well, since he works for AOL Time Warner, he'll be promoted. This is what they're about.
And even when Dean sets him straight, Dean says, we've looked through all those FEC reports to make sure it's true. Now, you know, the dumb bastard Blitzer could have had one of his flunkies look through the same report, right? Please. The dumb bastard Blitzer is not interested in the truth. He's interested in furthering the right-wing agenda in this country. Because Blitzer, even though he's Jewish, is a Nazi. Is a fascist. God! And then he says, but through various Abramoff-related organizations and outfits, a bunch of Democrats did take money that presumably originated with Jack Abramoff. And Dean comes right back and smacks him again. That's not true either! But what about Senator Byron Dorgan?
And Dean says, Senator Byron Dorgan and some others took money from Indian tribes. They're not agents of Jack Abramoff. No, they're not. They're victims of Jack Abramoff.
And the thing with Kennedy getting a Patrick Kennedy, $42,000. Patrick Kennedy has busted his ass for as long as he's been in Congress to go to work for Native American rights. So they contributed legal contributions to his campaigns. Oh, well then! The same Indian tribes that Jack Abramoff pounded it right up their sphincter muscles and then gleefully called them troglodytes and monkeys.
So that's how, you see, the Republicans try to make this an equal opportunity criminal enterprise. It is not. This is 100% Republican. This is the Bush crime family and its offshoots, its tentacles, which would be Tom DeLay and Newt Gingrich and Dennis Hastert and all the rest of these evil scum. Not one Democrat took one dime from Abramoff or any of his agents. Will you please get that through your heads right? Well, never mind. Anyway, capture that video or that audio and the video. And when those of you who still maintain conversations with Republicans or right-wingers or Bush suckers or the rest of these freaks, when they start coming at you with that, just, you know, play the tape for them. Not that that matters, but, you know. Thank you, Howard Dean. Thank you.
Wolfgang Blitzkrieg. Jawohl. My name is Wolf Blitzkrieg. I am here in Jerusalem because my leader is in a coma.
Oh, man. These people make me sick, and we're only 16 minutes into the program. Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy. This is Air America.
listening to The Mike Malloy Show on Air America Radio.
One in four adults has high blood pressure. If you're one of them and you have a cold, Coricidin HBP has surprising news for you. The American Heart Association recognizes that decongestants found in many leading cold medicines can raise your blood pressure and interfere with blood pressure medication. So why risk it? Only decongestant-free Coricidin HBP provides a line of safe, powerful cold and flu medication specially formulated for people with high blood pressure. So make the safe choice. Coricidin HBP. Use as directed.
He's a cop trained to stay cool under pressure. A sniper whose deadly accuracy guarantees no misses, no mistakes. Until he makes the shot and finds that he's the victim of a setup. Searching for answers. Alone. Alone, the New York Times bestselling thriller by Lisa Gardner, author of The Killing Hour. Alone, it's the last place a good cop wants to be. Read Alone by Lisa Gardner, now a Bantam paperback.
That fish and humans can coexist peacefully. It's more of Mike Malloy.
Twenty-one past the hour. I just love the way that little interview with Wolf Blitzer and Governor Dean ended, with Blitzer saying, unfortunately, Mr. Chairman, we've got to leave it right there. Right after Dean said the Democrats are not involved in this. Oh, man. It's amazing. If you have any desire or any need for any proof about the goal of media in this country regarding this hideous scandal, just listen. Listen to all of them. And not just the turd people over at Fox News. Any place you go, MSNBC, with the exception there of our good friend Keith Olbermann. I call him a good friend. He doesn't know me. We don't know each other, but I feel like I know him, you know. MSNBC, Fox, the networks, it doesn't make any difference. Every single one of them is trying to make this sound like Democrats, and they keep putting their where was it? Was it CNN today? And one of these ditzy anchor people was out there saying, well, now, you know, the American people, here's a recent poll. The American people are getting tired of Congress. And then put these numbers up. Only 27% of people have any faith in Congress. And I just want to scream. Matter of fact, I think I did scream. Scared the hell out of Molly. I'm glad Molly doesn't understand cuss words yet, right? Well, she may understand them, but she can't say them. But she was in the living room, and I'm watching this on the kitchen TV, trying to mix up some tuna fish, right? And they put this thing up on the screen, 27, and I just I shriek at the television, the obvious. You dumb son of a bitch! It's been a Republican Congress. Of course, people don't like it. Oh my God. But if you have any questions about the goals and aims of media, just watch as this thing develops, okay? Got an email from somebody who identifies himself, herself as some voter. Okay, fair enough. And some voter says, compare the coverage of the grief of the families of the miners, which is real, to the lack of coverage of grief of the families of U.S. military whose sons or daughters have been killed or wounded, or any Muslims. The only exception, some voter writes, is that the New York Times will cover Middle Easterners killed by other Middle Easterners since it supports their agenda. Yeah, I hear you. The story that broke over the weekend, towards the end of last week, a secret Pentagon study found that at least 80% of the Marines who have been killed in Iraq from wounds to their upper body could have survived if they had had extra body armor. And the armor has been available since 2003. The army has, you know, and Bush walks out or Cheney walks out in front of soldiers, active duty people who are forced by their commanders to sit back there as a backdrop and applaud for these murderous sons of bitches who are sending them, the soldiers, into death, unprotected, not properly armed, and they have to sit there and applaud the very people who are ordering them dead. It's astonishing. It's astonishing. Hey, soldier. Hey, sailor. Why in the hell would you support a Republican? They hate you. They want to kill you. 80%. What are the moms and dads of the dead Marines doing tonight with this story?
Well, okay, but you know, I still support George Bush, even though my son was shot to death and did have to die, because George won't let the queers get married! And that's much more important than my dead son.
Jesus. Oh, my God. For the first time, the study by the military's own medical examiner. This is not a study by the DNC. It's not a study by some peace freak group at Yale. Not that there's anything wrong with that. This hasn't been done by Quakers or anti-war people. No! The study was done by the Pentagon. The study by the military's medical examiner shows the cost in lost lives from inadequate armor, even as the Pentagon continues to publicly defend its protection of the troops. Ah, these dirty bastards. Nothing, not one thing that the Bush crime family has ever stated has ever been true. Do you understand that, Truth Seeker? Do you understand that? Pentagon officials have said they are shipping the best armor to Iraq as quickly as possible. That's a filthy lie. At the same time, they have maintained that it is impossible to shield forces, our forces, from the increasingly powerful improvised explosive devices used by insurgents. Yet the Pentagon's own study reveals the equally lethal threat of bullets. Have I mentioned tonight how much I hate these bastards?
I'll bring justice to your enemies. Justice will be done. I will not yield.
I will not rest.
I will not relent in waging the struggle for freedom and security.
This is the world's fight. This is civilization's fight.
This is the Mike Malloy Show on Air America Radio.
This is Mark Crispin Miller. The world can't wait to drive out the Bush regime. On January 31st, Bush gives his State of the Union address, but we can say right now that this union is in a state of emergency. The Bush regime is not conservative. The Bush regime is not American. The Bush regime is radically opposed to the ideals on which America was founded. Reason, free speech, democracy, and the pursuit of happiness. The Bush regime wants to replace all that with corporate domination and religious tyranny. They want a vast police state where there is no argument, no private pleasure, no free thought, and not a single tree left standing. This regime is immoral, unjust, unelected, and indictably criminal, and we must stop it. Tuesday, January 31st, during Bush's State of the Union address, we will protest all across the country and demand that Bush step down. The next Saturday, February 4th, join us in Washington, D.C., where we'll bring our demands right to the White House. Bush lied, Bush spied, Bush stepped down. Find us today, worldcan'twait.org, 866-973-4463.
Sir, what is your name?
Dave.
Well, Dave, you're scaring the other passengers. I have to ask you to remove the ski mask.
I have to filter out the bad air. Some of those people look terrible.
Sir, the ski mask.
Okay. How do you stay healthy breathing airplane air?
I take Emergen-C every day. The powder in the little packets, loaded with vitamin C, B vitamins, and essential minerals. Just mix it in your water.
It's fizzing.
That's Emergen-C. It gives your immune system a boost.
I gotta get Emergen-C. Until then, could you just drop my oxygen mask?
Emergen-C for life. Find it in the vitamin C section.
He's a cop trained to stay cool under pressure. A sniper whose deadly accuracy guarantees no misses, no mistakes. Until he makes the shot and finds that he's the victim of a setup. Searching for answers. Alone. Alone, the New York Times bestselling thriller by Lisa Gardner, author of The Killing Hour. Alone is the last place a good cop wants to be. Read Alone by Lisa Gardner, now a Bantam paperback.
He's a liberal with a microphone, and that makes him dangerous. It's more Mike Malloy on Air America Radio.
Twenty-six before the hour. Now, regarding the armor and the lack thereof and the fact that the Pentagon's own study says that 80% of the Marines who have been killed as a result of upper body wounds could have lived. Jesus, think about that. Think about that. No, don't. Simple Scotty, at his press conference today, took a question around that issue. The cavalier attitude of these Bush crime family killers is just unbelievable to me. They send America's soldiers to kill and be maimed and be killed. And then they talk about a few tough days in Iraq when we lose a dozen troops, 15 troops in 2 weeks. And
it's just what Bush expected after his, Iraqi elections.
In this instance, a reporter says, we've had about 24 American troops killed in Iraq in the past week, Scott. Doesn't that undercut your argument that progress is being made there?
No. In fact, the president talked about how as the Iraqi people continue to move forward on the political process and continue to move forward on reconstructing their country, the terrorist and Saddam loyalist will do everything they can to try to derail the transition to democracy. And the president made it very clear in this series of speeches he held over the course of December that there is going to be continued violence as we move forward. That's why we must continue to move forward on our strategy that we have in place to win. We are making important progress. There are difficulties ahead. There are going to be tough days. We've seen a few tough days over the last week. Stakes are high in Iraq. That's why it's so important that we complete the mission. Withdrawal would be a disaster.
Oh, you son of a bitch. This isn't a disaster. This is progress, right? He says the president made it very clear in the series of speeches he held over the course of December that there's going to be continued violence as we move forward. In other words, everything is going according to Bush's filthy, murderous plan. He says we've seen a few tough days over the last week. The last week? Oh, you evil twit. Oh, my God. I wonder how these killers are going to spin it when the number of U.S. dead in the war on terror equals the number of U.S. loss on 9/11. Ah, oh, man. It's nauseating. And this Alito thing that we're going to talk about a little bit tonight is more horrifying than you might think. American troops in Baghdad yesterday blasted their way into the home of an Iraqi journalist working for The Guardian of London and Channel 4 in the UK, firing bullets into the bedroom where he was sleeping with his wife and children. Ali Fadhil, who 2 months ago won the Foreign Press Association Young Journalist of the Year award, was hooded and taken for questioning. He was released hours later. Dr. Fadhil is working with Guardian Films on an investigation for Channel 4's Dispatches program into claims that tens of millions of dollars worth of Iraqi funds held by the Americans and the British have been misused or misappropriated. The troops told Dr. Fadhil that they were looking for an Iraqi insurgent and seized videotapes he had shot for the program. The tapes have not been returned. The director of the film, Callum McRae, said yesterday, quote, "The timing and nature of this raid is extremely disturbing. It is only a few days since we first approached the U.S. authorities and told them Ali was doing this investigation and asked them to grant him an interview about our findings. We need," Callum McRae said, "a convincing assurance from the American authorities that this terrifying experience was not harassment and a crude attempt to discourage Ali's investigation," end quote. Dr. Ali Fadhil was asleep with his wife, their 3-year-old daughter Sarah, and 7-month-old son Adam when the troops forced their way in. Ali Fadhil said, quote, "They fired into the bedroom where we were sleeping. Then 3 soldiers came in. They rolled me onto the floor and tied my hands. When I tried to ask them what they were looking for, they told me to shut up." End quote.
our North Metro Atlanta correspondent, Sharon, sent this to me. And she adds, Mike, this is outrageous. Between this, our soldiers being sent off to war without the best body armor, and now we know how many have died because of this, to this radical freak that Chucklenuts is trying to foist onto the Supreme Court, I just don't know how much more of this I can take. It's becoming unbearable. Well, do you remember in The Exorcist when who was the old guy, Kathy, the priest, the old priest, the actor? Not the young guy, but the old guy who dies of a heart attack. No, not Christopher Plummer. It was, I don't either. But you remember that scene where the older priest and the younger priests are in the child's bedroom? And, I mean, it's really vile. Oh, whew, what a movie, right? And the old priest is holding up a cross and sprinkling the area with holy water, and he's saying, the power of Christ compels you! The power of Christ compels you! The power of Christ compels you! Remember that? Well, insisting that God, quote, certainly needs to be involved, end quote, in the Supreme Court confirmation process, three Christian ministers, last, was it Thursday or Friday, blessed the doors of the hearing room where Senate Judiciary Committee members will begin considering the nomination of Judge Samuel Alito. Capitol Hill police barred them from entering the room to continue what they called a consecration service, but in a bit of one-upmanship, the three announced that they had let themselves in a day earlier, touching holy oil to the seats where Alito, the senators, witnesses, Senate staffers, and the press will sit. Oh, God. Can you? I don't know where to go with this story. These people can walk into a Senate hearing room unchallenged and smear stuff on the seats? How about anthrax? How about LSD? How about vomit? This is unbelievable. So anybody, I mean, these freaks can walk. Can you imagine if this would have been three Muslim clerics? No. Can you imagine if this would have been three women from Code Pink? No. Can you imagine if this would have been Cindy Sheehan or somebody from Gold Star Mother? No. Can you imagine if this would have been military families? Yeah. But these three Christians got in. And the Reverend Bob Schenck, who identified himself as an evangelical Christian and president of the National Clergy Council in Washington, probably six members, said, quote, we did adequately apply oil to all the seats. Snork, snork. Okay, I added the snork, snork. Reverend Schenck called the consecration service that he and his two partners in crime committed the kickoff in a series of prayer meetings that will continue through the confirmation hearing. Oh, God, please. Give us Samuel Alito. We desire thy blessings on fascism. Oh, please, dear God, we want Samuel Alito. Please, dear God. Now, I realize we had a negress with us when the three of us went there, two Caucasoids and a negress, and we understand that the negress will be one of the first put to the sword and then the dirty Jews. But please, dear God, please help us get Samuel Alito confirmed. Oh, praise the Lord! We did adequately apply oil to all the seats, said the Reverend Rob Schenck. Capitol Hill police said they weren't aware that the three had entered the hearing room earlier. What? But added that hearing rooms aren't typically locked because, quote, they're not of interest to anyone. End quote. Oh, my God. Kathy, I'll tell you what, let's go to some, I don't know where. You buy a burqa, and I'll buy one of those, what do they call the Muslim mullah, the mullah robes, and you and I will just stroll into the Capitol building and into the hearing room. Okay, we'll do the Senate hearing room. We'll just stroll in, and I'll have a bottle of something in my hand, and you have a copy of the Holy Quran, and let's see how far we get before we're machine gun into two huge lumps of red bloody meat.
Capitol Hill police said they weren't aware that three had entered the hearing room earlier, but added that hearing rooms aren't typically locked because, quote, they're not of interest to anyone, end quote. Lieutenant Dominic Costa said the Lieutenant Dominic Costa said the Judiciary Committee room will be swept for bombs and perhaps for electronic bugging equipment before the hearing begins. Is anyone else having an Ashcroft flashback with this story? Remember the Crisco kid? Used to anoint himself all the time with... The three ministers insisted they weren't taking sides in the Alito debate. The Reverend Patrick Mahoney, who is the other white dude there, director of the Christian Defense Coalition, said, "This is not a pro-Alito prayer. You know, God is interested in what goes on in the nomination hearing." Reverend Schenck said he and the Reverend Mahoney had blessed the same room before hearings for Chief Justice John Roberts last year. Reverend Schenck said, "You know, oh, snork, snork, that hearing went pretty well too, didn't it? By God!"
So with healing in her wings, as the land beneath her sings.
Only the Mike Malloy Show on Air America Radio.
Hello. I am the Ricola Mystery Coffer. If you hear me coughing and offer me a soothing, natural Ricola cough drop, I'll reward you with $1,000, $100,000, maybe $1 million. But be warned, I can be a man.
Or a woman.
So keep your Ricola cough drops on hand.
For clues and official rules, go to RicolaUSA.com. No purchase necessary. Game open to legal U.S. residents 18 years or older. Game begins 10-105 and ends 2-2806.
Ricola!
1 in 4 adults has high blood pressure. If you're one of them and you have a cold, Coracetin HBP has surprising news for you. The American Heart Association recognizes that decongestants found in many leading cold medicines can raise your blood pressure and interfere with blood pressure medication. So why risk it? Only decongestant-free Coracetin HBP provides a line of safe, powerful cold and flu medication specially formulated for people with high blood pressure. So make the safe choice. Coracetin HBP. Use as directed.
subliminal messages for you to misunderestimate. It's Mike Malloy. He's commonsensical.
Max von Sydow. Thanks to everybody who emailed that in. He was the old priest in The Exorcist. But can you imagine that? Can you imagine three Muslim clerics or three peace advocates walking into the Senate hearing room where Alito, last week, where Alito and all these people are going to be, were sitting today, and smearing something on the seats, and smearing some, and did you see the picture of these three? It's, I guess it's in the Washington Post. I got it from Democratic Underground. And there they are. Now, there's a, you can clearly see in the picture of the two Caucasoids and the Negress, you can see there are signs, two signs on the doors that say authorized personnel only. Okay? Arrest these bastards. Are they author? Oh, wait a minute. That's right. I'm sorry. They're Christian evangelical Christ killers. So they have the right to enter any damn place they want to. Look at these three. Have you seen this picture? Arrogant snots. What, we have a Republican on the line? Where? Oh, God. Okay, a Thomas is calling from Austin, Texas. Thomas, welcome to the program. Thomas? Well, don't sit there and giggle. Say something.
Oh, hello?
Yeah, are you Thomas?
No, I am not the Thomas, and I am not a Republican.
Please. Who are you?
I'm Leanne from San Diego, and I call to tell you that I saw the interview with Wolf Blitzer and our wonderful leader, Howard Dean.
Yeah,
and
oh, did
I
you?
Want to praise Howard Dean.
I'll join you in that, Leanne. I'm sorry, we had the lines just reversed here. They somebody typed it in wrong.
Republican.
What?
Please don't call me a Republican.
No, my bad, Leanne. Let me get down on the floor here and grovel. Hold on. I'm sorry, Leanne! They had a type run on the screen. I know you're not a Republican. God, there are no Republicans in Austin. Well, wait a minute. Yes, there are. Leanne?
Me?
Leanne?
Yes.
Okay, there you are.
I'm sorry.
No. Trust me, it's our fault. Okay. Go ahead, Leanne. Where were we?
First of all, I want to say Howard Dean made me so proud that day. I watched every bit of that interview, and he gave it to Wolf Blitzer good. And by the end of that interview, Wolf Blitzer was so tongue-tied, he didn't know what to say to Howard Dean, because he knew Howard Dean was right on every account. And that is what our Democratic leaders should model themselves after, Howard Dean.
Okay,
problem with us, is we're too nice.
Well, you know, Dean stated it absolutely, categorically, spot on, and every single damn Democrat should say exactly what Howard Dean is saying.
Exactly.
And you know how many of them will? Maybe two or three. Because the rest of them are chicken-hearted cowards. They are pink tutu Democrats, and I hate them. So props to Howard Dean for standing up on his hind legs and spouting the truth to the German U-boat commander, or former German U-boat commander.
The second part of my statement was that every single Republican that you know in your life, you should be looking right every single one of them in the eye and say, look what you have done. Look what you put in the White House. You put a thief I can't say the word. He's a cheat and he's a liar. And you are responsible for what we are going to have to go through in this country. Because try getting him out now. So every single one, don't get mad at Bush. Get mad at all these Republicans that you have to sit next to at work and go shopping with in the stores and get in their face and look in their eye and say, how dare you take my liberty and my country away. And I'm going to get down mean and dirty and fight and cheat just like you guys have done in the last election. If that's how we have to win, then we'll play dirty just like you.
You go, Leanne.
Thank you.
You go. Thanks for checking in.
All right. Thanks,
all right.
Mike.
All right, Leanne. Now let's try. Where's the other guy? Who is it? Is he gone? Oh, Jesus. All right, what's going on with the phone calls here? All right, we Thomas, from wherever you called in from, Thomas, the Republican, call back, and we'll put you on. Leanne is, Leanne's right, you know, right on. You can hear. I bet Leanne is just a normal person, like so many of us started out. We all started out, us Democrats, normal.
And after watching what these filthy, filthy snakes have done, it's hard to be normal anymore. Smearing oil on the seats. Arrogant bastards. When we come back, we're going to have a couple of quotes from soon-to-be prison bitch Tom DeLay. Can't wait for that. From his Saturday announcement that he's stepping aside as majority leader for the good of Republicans everywhere. Yes, because I'm such a Republican good guy, I'm going to step aside because I'm very distracted right now. And I've got this dead animal in my head, and it's just driving me crazy. Also, President Chucklenuts, as he attempts to talk all educational and stuff about his no education program left funded law. And a couple of comments from Simple Scotty and a partridge in a pear tree. So stick around. We have all sorts of goodies planned for this evening, all right? I'm Mike Malloy. This is Air America.
Malloy on Air America Radio. This is the Nation Minute on Air America Radio.
The list of congressmen tied to lobbyist Jack Abramoff and indicted lawmaker Tom DeLay keeps growing. Here's two more soon-to-be disgraced household names, Representatives John Doolittle and Richard Pombo of California. Doolittle accepted more than $60,000 in donations from Abramoff and enjoyed free access to his sports skyboxes. Both Doolittle's chief of staff and wife went on the lobbyist payroll and have been subpoenaed by the Justice Department. Pombo, as chairman of the House Resources Committee, provided numerous favors to Abramoff's defrauded Indian tribe clients, gave him over $50,000 in campaign contributions. Yesterday, the LA Times reported that Doolittle and Pombo helped Tom DeLay kill a federal investigation into a large Texas savings and loan scandal. Money and political favors flowed in return. For the two protégés of DeLay, it was simply corruption as usual. For more, visit thenation.com. I'm Ari Berman for Air America Radio.
I thought you were done with our taxes.
I am, but now TurboTax can help us get even more from our tax refund.
Really?
Yeah. With TurboTax, we can use all or part of our refund for gift cards with a bonus of 10%, 20%, or more at over 50 major retailers.
Wow.
We can get more from the places where we'd spend our money anyway.
A bonus on top of our refund? I'm thinking power tools.
Or some new shoes.
DVD player.
Dinner out.
Barbecue grill.
New laptop.
Vacation.
Ugh, vacation.
These apply. Learn more at TurboTax.com.
Hello. I am the Ricola Mystery Cougher. If you hear me coughing and offer me a soothing, natural Ricola cough drop, I'll reward you with $1,000, $100,000, maybe $1 million. But be warned, I can be a man.
Or a woman.
So keep your Ricola cough drops on hand.
For clues and official rules, go to RicolaUSA.com. No purchase necessary. Game open to legal U.S. residents 18 years or older. Game begins 10-105 and ends 2-2806. Ricola!
America Radio News. I'm Bill Crowley. Louisiana's governor and other top officials are hoping to learn something about flood control from the Dutch. Kathleen Blanco is heading to Holland to check out dams, seawalls, and surge barriers. That means she'll miss George Bush's visit to New Orleans on Thursday. Governor Blanco says her trip was scheduled long before the White House alerted her to Bush's upcoming visit. The governor says the trip will be very valuable in figuring out how to protect Louisiana from a storm as big or bigger than Hurricane Katrina. Recently, Holland finished a 50-year flood control construction program. One congressman is defending Jack Abramoff. Most lawmakers in Washington these days are doing all they can to distance themselves from lobbyist Jack Abramoff. But California Congressman Dana Rohrabacher says the former lobbyist is, quote, a good person who's done bad things. The California Republican says Abramoff's being portrayed as a monster. He pleaded guilty to federal conspiracy, tax evasion, and mail fraud charges, and he's agreed to tell the FBI about alleged bribes to as many as 20 members of Congress and their aides. Congressman Rohrabacher says his longtime friend should be punished for breaking the law, but he says a lot of what's being portrayed as corruption is simply, quote, standard operating procedures for lobbying in Washington. Supreme Court nominee Samuel Alito says good judges don't have an agenda, and he says no one, no matter how powerful, is above the law. At his confirmation hearings today, Democratic Senator Edward Kennedy said he had doubts that Alito would vote to restrict the expanding power of the White House. The confirmation hearings for Alito really get rolling in earnest tomorrow with questions from senators. Today, Senator Dick Durbin of Illinois said Alito's record raises troubling questions about whether he appreciates the checks and balances of the government. And in his opening statement, Republican Committee Chairman Arlen Specter said the great national concern over the clash between civil liberties and national security will be a top issue. The busiest U.S. airports, about 40 of them, will have new security devices, bomb detection equipment known as puffer machines, to be installed by spring. These puffer machines installed at Dulles International and Reagan National Airports in Washington today. The Transportation Security Administration says there are now 24 airports with the walkthrough machines, which puff air onto a person to dislodge tiny particles from skin and clothing. The machine then sucks up these particles and analyzes them for traces of explosives. One of the biggest weaknesses in U.S. airport security has been the limited ability to detect bombs being carried by passengers. Government screeners relying largely on pat-downs, which are being described as unpopular, time-consuming, and incomplete. In contrast, the puffer machine takes 17 seconds to check out a passenger and can analyze particles as small as 1/1,000,000th of a gram. This is Air America Radio News.
Yeah, welcome back. 7 past the hour. I think the microphone was open when I just coughed and hacked again. Boy, this cold is just an absolute booger. All right, Tom DeLay, soon to be somebody's bitch in prison, from his Saturday announcement that he's stepping aside as majority leader for the good of Republicans everywhere.
Earlier today, I asked Speaker Hastert to convene the House Republican Conference as soon as possible as the for the purpose of electing a new majority leader.
Uh-huh.
You know, serving in that capacity through the trust and confidence of my colleagues in the House
that I betrayed
has been a great honor these last 3 years.
Right.
But the job of majority leader is too important to be hamstrung by personal distraction.
Or fraud. Or criminal activity.
As a Republican majority over the last 11 years, a remarkable history.
Yeah.
We have changed the course of this country in a very positive way.
You can insert your own joke right there. You've changed the course of this country. You rotten son of a bitch. You have taken this country into fascism. Oh. Oh. Oh, well. Now, I know the hammer isn't in the stand-up comedy business, but he should consider it as a career choice after he gets out in, 3 to 5. This is some funny stuff about his re-election plans for this November.
I plan to run a very vigorous campaign, and I plan to win it.
Uh-huh.
I have always acted in an ethical manner within the rules of the House and the laws of our land, and time, once again, will bear out that truth.
Now, where are those little Taiwanese prostitutes? Hey, bring one over here. I'm an ethical man. I've always... All right, Tom, just one more time. Tom and anyone else who happens to be listening, here's my man, Howard Dean, on Sunday, on Late Edition, with the former German U-boat commander, Wolf Blitzer, who was speaking to Howard from Jerusalem, and Howard was in Washington, I believe. Here's the back and forth.
Should Democrats who took money from Jack Abramoff, who's now pleaded guilty to bribery charges, among other charges, a Republican lobbyist in Washington, should the Democrats who took money from him give that money to charity or give it back?
There are no Democrats who took money from Jack Abramoff. Not one. Not one single Democrat. Every person named in this scandal is a Republican. Every person under investigation is a Republican. Every person indicted is a Republican. This is a Republican finance scandal. There is no evidence that Jack Abramoff ever gave any Democrat any money. And we've looked through all those FEC reports to make sure that's true.
What? But through various Abramoff-related organizations and outfits, a bunch of Democrats did take money that presumably originated with Jack Abramoff.
That's not true either. There's no evidence for that either. There's no evidence.
Senator, what about Senator Byron Dorgan?
Senator Byron Dorgan and some others took money from Indian tribes. They're not agents of Jack Abramoff. There's no evidence that I've seen that Jack Abramoff directed any contributions to Democrats. I know the Republican National Committee would like to get the Democrats involved in this. They're scared. They should be scared. They haven't told the truth. They have misled the American people. And now it appears they're stealing from Indian tribes. The Democrats are not involved in this.
Wait a minute, but I'm Wolf Blitzer. Wait, wait.
Unfortunately, Mr. Chairman, we got to leave it right there.
Unfortunately, Mr. Chairman, we got to leave it right there because, you just shoved the sharp stick right into my lower body orifice. Boy, when we get off the air here, I am going to raise hell with Atlanta because that twerpy little researcher who wrote this copy for me didn't check it out. No, he checked it out, Wolf. He checked it out. But the instructions from the supervising producer was, lie. Bastards. President Chucklenuts, celebrating the 4th anniversary of Leave No Child Behind, He was at the North Glen Elementary School in Glen Burnie, Maryland. When was this, yesterday? Sunday? Saturday? Today. Now, every time Raising Brain talks about children left behind, I flash on that creepy religious book series about the end of days. You know, what is it? The Left Behind series? Left Behind. Anyway, Dim Sun should have called this his Leave Every Education Program Unfunded plan, but I digress. Consider his prophetic declaration that former FEMA director Michael Brown was doing a heck of a job. I think Bush's speechwriters ought to nix that phrase out of his playbook for future speeches, don't you think?
First, I want to welcome our Secretary of Education, Margaret Spellings. I've known her for a long time. She is a dear friend of mine who also happens to be a significant warrior when it comes to leaving no children behind in our society. She believes that I believe, that every single child can learn.
Oh.
And we've got to make sure that every child does learn.
Yeah.
I want to thank you for your leadership, Margaret. You're doing a heck of a job as the Secretary of Education.
You're doing a heck of a job, Brownie. You're doing. What was it last week? You're doing a heck of a job. Who was it last week? You're doing a heck of a job. Oh, that was Denny Hastert. You're doing a heck of a job, Hastert. So who else is doing a heck of a job? Looks like Manor Monkey wants to visit that particular kiss of death on the local educators in Maryland. He must get extra nervous speaking in front of edumacators. And he gets extra grammatically stupid.
Laura and I's spirits are uplifted any time we go to a school that's working.
Yeah, amen.
I want to thank all the local and state officials who joined us. I want to thank Nancy Mann, the superintendent of schools, for this for the school district.
You're doing a heck of
Julie,
a job.
Julie, thank you, the principal.
Yeah.
Every school requires a dedicated educational entrepreneur.
Yeah.
Someone willing to challenge the status quo if there's failure and being imaginative about how to achieve results. And you've got such principals here. And again, I want to congratulate Julie and Maureen for leading this school.
Yeah.
You've done a heck of a job.
Every school requires a dedicated educational entrepreneur because you liar, don't fund. You withhold. You don't give the schools what they need on a federal level. And most states run by most Republicans have already cut back on the amount of money that goes to education. Did you read the thing in the Times about childhood diabetes, about the diabetes epidemic in this country that took off at the same time the Republicans decided to start defunding schools so they couldn't have the children go outside for PE? Ah, you filthy bastards. I hate you all. Laura and I's spirits are uplifted. You know, I was one of the speakers at the Georgia Progressive Summit at Georgia State University on Sunday. And one of the topics, not the one I spoke on, but one of the topics from the woman who spoke just before I did was to, you know, to find something positive and work on that in overcoming these neo-Nazis. And it was great advice, and I felt a real sense of respect and affinity with the woman, what was her name, Lori McLeod, who was on right before me, Lisa McLeod, and I'm trying, Lisa, I swear to God, I'm trying. Kathy has some ideas that she's going to bring into the program as over the next couple of weeks, but Lisa, it is difficult. It's difficult for me because, you know, I'm an Italian-Irisher, and the combination is just lethal, and I understand that. But we'll be right back. I'm Mike Malloy.
Get back on the war.
Santa Claus does not exist, and there's no Easter Bunny. You'll find out when you grow up that Rick Bird isn't funny.
Life's gonna suck when you grow up, Life's gonna suck when you grow up, it sucks pretty bad right now. You're gonna end up smoking crack on your back, face the fact. You're gonna end up hooked on smack, and then you're gonna die.
You're listening to The Mike Malloy Show on Air America Radio.
One in four adults has high blood pressure. If you're one of them and you have a cold, Coricidin HBP has surprising news for you. The American Heart Association recognizes that decongestants found in many leading cold medicines can raise your blood pressure and interfere with blood pressure medication. So why risk it? Only decongestant-free Coricidin HBP provides a line of safe, powerful cold and flu medications specially formulated for people with high blood pressure. So make the safe choice. Coricidin HBP. Use as directed.
Honey?
Yeah?
Can you keep the kids busy? I'm doing our taxes.
Oh, that's right. We're using TurboTax this year.
Mm-hmm. And it's so easy. TurboTax asks these simple questions, and it automatically fills in all the right forms.
Really?
Uh-huh. TurboTax also checks for errors, and calculations are guaranteed accurate.
Well, what about deductions?
Found ones I didn't even think of.
Like those little tax deductions jumping on the sofa?
What?
The kids.
No, I remembered them.
TurboTax. Taxes made easy. Taxes done right. Learn more at TurboTax.com or visit a retailer near you.
Directors work 24 hours a day. And Brownie, you're doing a heck of a job.
You know, when Bush, excuse me, Bush is celebrating, of course, the fourth anniversary of Leave No Child Behind. And today he was in Glen Burnie, Maryland. But he's so taken with this heck of a job phrase that he's going to reach back. Eventually, he's going to reach back into American history. You watch, and award it display it or put it on somebody posthumously. You watch.
One of my predecessors was Sam Houston. He was the president of the Republic of Texas. He was a United States senator. He was a congressman from Tennessee. He was the governor of Texas. He had done a lot of things. He led, the Battle of San Jacinto. I mean, he was a heck of a guy. They asked him, of all the things you've done in your life, what is the most important job? He said, teacher.
If I'm ever asked about your importantest job, I'll say, moron! San Jacinto? San Jacinto? I thought you spoke Espanol. In La Casa Blanca. La Jardín de Rosas. But Mr. Bush, I thought you spoke Espanol. Let's play that one more time.
One of my predecessors was Sam Houston.
Heck of a guy.
He was the president of the Republic of Texas. He was a United States senator.
Yeah.
He was a congressman from Tennessee. He was the governor of Texas. He had done a lot of things. He led, the Battle of San Jacinto. I mean, he was a heck of a guy. They asked him, of all the things you've done in your life, what is the most important job? He said, teacher.
And learning how to pronounce the Spanish words in Espanol. We do not have a J sound, El Morano. You guacamoron. San Jacinto. Okay, well, whatever. All right, Chuckle Nuts. This is the last one from him. Here Weak and Stupid tries to explain how he came up with the idea of No Child Left Behind. It was as a result of underperforming schools in Texas, which is like all of them and still are. And as a result of the process, kids were illiterate, which can't be good, or can it? So he worked hard to make it more better, or did he, so that we'd have an illiterate workforce. That's right, an illiterate workforce.
And we were beginning to realize that as a result of a process world,
what?
The kids were coming out of the school system who were literate.
Who were literate? Well, that isn't that.
And it wasn't right.
It isn't?
It was morally wrong, in my judgment, not to challenge a system that wasn't achieving great national goals, such as a literate workforce.
Big P, little P. What begins with P? P brain at the podium. P, P, P. The kids were coming out of the school system that who were literate. You can't have that. It wasn't right. Play that one more time. You got time? Can you slam it on there again?
And we were beginning to realize that as a result of a process world,
what that?
The kids were coming out of the school system who were literate. And it wasn't right.
Wasn't right.
It was morally wrong.
Morally wrong.
Judgment, yes. Not to challenge a system that wasn't achieving great national goals, such as an illiterate workforce.
You dumb bastard. Oh, you dumb bastard. All right, last one. Still in Glen Burnie, Maryland, still standing in front of people who have had more than a fourth grade education. Remember now, Raisin Brain is talking to educators. Kind of scary when you think about this garbled nonsense about his dream is for all children to be able to read at a third grade level and then stay there. Oh, Jesus. Here he is.
One of the most specific goals we set is that every child should be reading at grade level by the third grade and remain at grade level. That's a clear goal. It's easy to understand. There's no ambiguity with it. It says every child, not just some children. No doubt it's not the second or tenth. It's third. And remain there.
Big P, little P. What begins with P? Putts at the podium. P, P, P. Let's get all the little chillin' up there to third grade level and let them stay there like I. Oh, my God. I don't know what to do with this. I really don't.
Well, that's Bush in his own words. Now, when we come back, quick break here, just two from Simple Scotty. And then we're going to move to the Alito hearing debacle. I understand Sam Cedar got into this on the Majority Report, so I don't know how much we'll be repeating what you've already heard. But stick around, okay? I'm Mike Malloy. This is Air America.
De una familia muy rica, Bush es un hombre insincero. De una familia muy rica, antes de que usted vuelva quiero decirle que Bush ha vendido su alma. Gana dinero, Jorge Bush gana dinero. Gana dinero, Jorge Bush gana.
This is the Mike Malloy Show on Air America Radio.
My name's Brian, and I've been suffering from psoriasis for over 15 years. And this product, Skin Zinc, it actually works. I love it because there's no steroids. You just spray it on, and it works. It's like having brand new skin.
I'm Janine, and I just want to tell everyone out there that Skin Zinc is amazing. I don't itch. Look, I'm in a T-shirt and shorts. I finally have a social life again. Just try it. It works. Believe me.
My name is Mark, and I've used everything there is to treat the dry, flaky skin on my arms. Skin Zinc helps. I don't know why doctors don't have this, but I'm telling you, they don't.
After using Skin Zinc, it's completely cleared up. Skin Zinc is phenomenal.
I tried Skin Zinc, and in about 1 week, I noticed that the rashes on my arms were going away. It works better than anything I've ever used, period.
Call right now for your in-home 30-day risk-free trial of Skin Zinc at 800-507-5896. That's 800-507-5896. Skin Zinc helps you eliminate psoriasis. Call 800-507-5896. Call now and get relief. 800-507-5896.
Sir, what is your name?
Dave.
Well, Dave, you're scaring the other passengers. I have to ask you to remove the ski mask.
I have to filter out the bad air. Some of those people look terrible.
Sir, the ski mask.
Okay. How do you stay healthy breathing airplane air?
I take Emergen-C every day. The powder in the little packets, loaded with vitamin C, B vitamins, and essential minerals. Just mix it in your water.
It's fizzing.
That's Emergen-C. It gives your immune system a boost.
I gotta get Emergen-C. Until then, could you just drop my oxygen mask?
Emergen-C for life. Find it in the vitamin C section.
Tina, your face is all red. Are you okay?
I'm fine. It's just hot in here.
Hot? We're in the freezer aisle, Tina. You're having a hot flash.
Hot flash? Menopause? But I'm still getting my period.
It's not menopause yet, but it could be changing hormones. When I got my first flash, my pharmacist told me to start taking Estrovin. Estrovin is all natural and can help reduce hot flashes, night sweats, and irritability.
I'm not irritable.
Right. And you don't need a prescription. It's in the vitamin aisle.
Let's go get Estrovin now.
Hot flashes? It's just your body telling you it's time for Estrovin. Use as directed.
Thank you.
proficiency in math, the ability to read and write.
Before the hour, okay. In fairness, I've gotten three emails from people who live in Texas who say some of the white folks down there do pronounce it San Jacinto. All right, simple Scotty McClellan had his press briefing today. The crack White House press corps wanted to know about Cheney's 3 a.m. trip to the hospital. What his foot broke off? What happened, Kathy?
Apparently, his body rejected yet another part.
Uh huh. Well, I don't know. Maybe he'll wind up on Rita Cosby or something. What's your program? What's the name of that show?
It's Live and Direct, Mike, and I don't know if I've got a chair or a studio big enough for both of us. I'm just not sure.
Oh, okay. Well, all right. Simple Scotty McClellan.
He led the honors with a quack, quack.
Enters the room.
Quack, quack, quack. Quack, quack.
All right, everybody, here we go.
He led the honors with a quack, quack, quack.
You sing along.
Down to the river they did go.
Wiggle, wobble, wiggle, waddle to and fro. But the one little duck with the feather on his back, he led the others with the quack, quack, quack. Quack, quack, quack. Quack, quack, quack. He led the others with the quack, quack, quack.
Oh God, I love that song. That's on the CD that our New York bureau chief Teresa sent us. I just love that song. It just gets in your brain. It's like brain cancer. I swear it is. You know, no offense to anybody that's dealing with brain cancer, but it just gets in there. Simple Scotty didn't know how to quack his way out of questions about Cheney's foot problem. Poor Dick, the $6 billion bionic Veep. All his various body parts are rejecting him, one after another. First his heart, now his foot is slowing off. Can't wait for the day his head rolls off during his speech and goes bouncing down the floor. Boom, 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 boom,
boom. Hey! Hey! Give me back. Hey!
So we have a reporter here who begins... And his question is, can you tell us what the pre-existing foot condition is that the vice president has, Scott?
Well, the vice president's office talked about that last week, and I'm sure if there's more information to share with you, they will do so.
They didn't mention anything specific.
We don't know what it is.
I would encourage you to direct questions such as that to their office because they check with his doctors and then provide information in an appropriate fashion.
Well, Scott, there's a rather large foot secrecy going on here, considering the vice president's left appendage.
I think you landed
him in the hospital this morning.
I think there's a significant amount of information that is provided to you all about his health situation over the course of the last few years.
Shut up. All right, so now Talk Radio News Service's Victoria Jackson's got to be kidding if she thinks the most secretive White House in history is going to pony up any details about this cyborg's actual physical condition. Do you see his head fall off when he's doing one of those 50-50 votes? I vote in faith.
Hey. Hey. Down here. Hey. God damn it. Hey. Pick me up. Hey.
Anyway, Victoria Jackson says, Scott, is there a particular reason why the vice president's foot condition is a secret?
I think that if you look back, his health his doctors and others have discussed his health situation over the last few years. So I don't know that I would agree with the characterization. But
we can't find out from you what the foot condition is, and apparently not from the Vice President's office.
The Vice President's office is the appropriate place to ask those questions. I don't have more information on it than what they're providing. I'm sorry?
You know what is wrong with his foot.
Yeah.
Some dreaded, infectious, weird foot disease.
The Vice President's office has a press office, and they'll be glad to talk to you about it. I think the Vice President talked about it in his remarks last week, and it's a pre-existing condition that he talked about.
Is it gout?
So, go ahead. Go ahead, Connie.
It's multiple body part rejection, Victoria. His own organs can't stand to be in the same room with him either. You know, one of these days, you know, he's going to get up, take a leak, and his liver is going to come out.
Clear.
He's going to cough someday, and his lungs are going to say, freedom!
Clear.
Sick bastard. Ed Kennedy's opening statement today at the Alito hearings. Let me tell you something, Truth Seeker. Alito is the last chink in the armor. No offense to our Chinese listeners. If Alito is confirmed, it's a fait accompli. No offense to our French listeners. It's over. The United States then becomes, call it whatever you want, totalitarian, authoritarian, fascist, communist, whatever. Alito is the key. Bush's twitchy little legal advisor, what was his name? Harriet Myers, was a stalking horse. This was the guy they had in the background. This is a guy who has the absolute ability, and the fact that he's Italian is just icing on the cake. There's something about us Italians, I'm sorry, but it's true. I've had to fight it most of my life. There's something about us Italians that you know, we like flashy uniforms and fascism. We do. We just do. It's you know, and most Italians who come to this country have, you know, fled, at least back at the turn of the century, the last century, fled Italian fascism. And subsequent to World War II, fled fascism. But It's really difficult. It really is. It's a beast that I've had to just constantly push stakes into the heart of this beast. This nascent fascism that most Italians, yours truly included, carry around in our hearts. Now that's where the Irish comes in. Okay, that kind of balances it with me. You know, because the Irish are just, you know, they're just willing to let anybody beat up on them. So when you get the combination of the fascist and the victim inside one person, moi, you can deal with it. But Alito, Mr. Alito, is the final step in the move to fascism. Kennedy said, I had the privilege of chairing his confirmation hearing in 1990. Alito's. At that time, he had practiced law for 14 years, but only represented one client, the United States government. And I asked him whether he believed he could be impartial in deciding cases involving the government. In that hearing, Judge Alito said on the record that the most important quality for a judge is, quote, open-mindedness to the arguments, end quote. He promised the committee then that he would make, quote, a very conscious effort to be absolutely impartial, end quote. We took him at his word and overwhelmingly confirmed him to the Third Circuit Court of Appeals. We now have the record of Judge Alito's 15 years on that bench and the benefit of some of his earlier writings that were not available 15 years ago. I regret to say that the record troubles me deeply. In an era when the White House is abusing power, is excusing and authorizing torture, and is spying on American citizens, I find Judge Alito's support for an all-powerful executive branch to be genuinely troubling. Under the president's spying program, there are no checks and no balances. There is no outside review of the legality of this brazen infringement on the civil rights and liberties of the American people. Undeterred by the public outcry, the president vows to continue spying on American citizens. Ultimately, The courts will make the final judgment whether the White House has gone too far. Independent and impartial judges must assess the proper balance between protecting our liberties and protecting our national security. I'm gravely concerned by Judge Alito's clear record of support for vast presidential authority, unchecked by the other two branches of government. In decision after decision on the bench, he has excused abusive actions by the authorities that intrude on the personal privacy and freedoms of average Americans. And in his writings and speeches, he has supported a level of overreaching presidential power that, frankly, most Americans find disturbing and even frightening. End quote. Now, if it works, according to plan, Alito will be confirmed in time to celebrate Easter by shooting some caged doves with Scalia and Cheney. And in honor of his left foot, a little Cheney music.
Who I am. Secret, secret, I've got a secret. Machine or mannequin. Secret, secret, I've got a secret. With parts made in Japan. Secret, secret, I've got a secret. Got the secret, I've been hiding under my skin. My heart is human, my blood is boiling, my brain IBM. So if you see me acting strangely, don't be surprised. I'm just a man who needed someone and someone to hide. To keep
the
me
Mike alive. Malloy Show on Air America Radio.
One in four adults has high blood pressure. If you're one of them and you have a cold, Coricidin HBP has surprising news for you. The American Heart Association recognizes that decongestants found in many leading cold medicines can raise your blood pressure and interfere with blood pressure medication. So why risk it? Only decongestant-free Coricidin HBP provides a line of safe, powerful cold and flu medication specially formulated for people with high blood pressure. So make the safe choice. Coricidin HBP. Use as directed.
There are two kinds of bikers. There's the tough, hardcore biker, like Smokey here.
Hey, bro.
And then there's the weekend rider, like Jeff.
Hey, man.
These two bikers couldn't be more different, except for one thing. You both have GEICO motorcycle insurance. Because GEICO covers most kinds of motorcycles, and they offer money-saving discounts. So, you see, you guys, you have more in common than you thought.
Neat.
For a free rate quote on motorcycle insurance, visit GEICO.com or call 1-800-44-CYCLE. GEICO Motorcycle Insurance. Let's ride.
No subliminable messages for you to misunderestimate. It's Mike Malloy. He's commonsensical.
All right. Buzz Flash. What did that say? Buzzflash.com is a site you all are familiar with, I'm sure. I think we need to start calling Cheney Dick Funkyfoot Cheney. Just refer to him as old Funkyfoot. And if his foot is missing, you know where it is? Firmly up George Bush's ass. That's where it is. Can I say that on the air? Buzzflash editorial today. Let me just quote a little bit. Where it concerns Alito, Buzzflash makes the point that if the Democrats don't make this stop, this time they're signing their own death warrant and that of Congress if Alito gets seated. Buzzflash writes, as usual, the hearings will all just be a farce. As the Madison Capital Times newspaper pointed out, quote, from the Senate Judiciary Committee begins questioning Supreme Court nominee Samuel Alito this week, Americans will again be reminded of the limitations of the confirmation process for presidential picks to serve on the federal bench. Alito will lie to the committee intentionally and repeatedly, end quote. Buzzflash says, while the Democratic senators once again surrender to the concept that stage-crafted hearings filled with lies and evasions by the Republican Supreme Court nominees matter, the GOP has been running ads, holding rallies, and grassroots lobbying like a well-oiled machine. That's why Jerry Falwell already proclaimed joyous victory for a fundamentalist Supreme Court that would accede to the demands of the executive branch in all things totalitarian and religious. Falwell didn't need to wait for the performance of the hearings. Reuters newspaper or news agency reports Falwell saying, what we've worked on for 30 years to mobilize people of faith and value in this country, and what we've done through these years is coming to culmination right now, Falwell said at a rally last night. Now we're looking, Falwell said, at what we really started on 30 years ago, reconstruction of a court system gone awry. End quote. Buzzflash continues, Alito will facilitate the merger of church and state under the nearly full control of a Republican executive branch that will be able to use any means it wants to ensure permanent rule, including wiretapping of political opponents in the guise of national security. You see, Alito is a key architect, as well as we have pointed out in two previous Buzzflash commentaries, of the absolute authority of a Republican president. Not only is he a firm believer in near dictatorial powers and making Congress irrelevant, he was a key strategist in having the Republican executive branch assume such powers incrementally so as not to be noticed and therefore disarm any opposition among the American people or in Congress. Howard Dean and Ted Kennedy are among the few Democratic leaders to take notice of the threat that Alito poses to the American Constitution and to democracy. Most of the other Democrats in the Senate express concern about Alito's championing of executive branch domination of government and exemption from following congressional laws. But these Democratic senators, wishy-washy and timid as usual, say, quote, well, let's wait and see what he has to say at the hearings, end quote. Alito is the mastermind behind presidential signing statements that allow Bush to, in essence, rewrite congressional law by stating his interpretation of law. This, in reality, eliminates the need for a Congress at all. In not promising to filibuster Alito, the Democrats and the Republicans in Congress are signing the death warrant of Congress as an institution. Alito will say whatever he needs to say to make a Democratic filibuster seem like extremism when he is the extremist who threatens the very foundation of our democracy and system of checks and balances. And to those Republicans who have started yelling every nominee should have an up or down vote, then why did the right wing sink the Harriet Myers nomination before it even got to a hearing room? This isn't a theatrical production. We're about to see the balance of powers guaranteed in our Constitution dismantled. An election was stolen in 2000 by a 5-4 vote. It's about to get a lot worse. Now, You can read this at buzzflash.com/editorial. You'll find it. And I eliminated about 60% of it to accommodate the clock here. But it's a pretty powerful statement, and pretty prescient, pretty clear, pretty straightforward. This one has me scared, Truth Seekers. I've been stating on this program for a couple of years now, really pissing off Democrats, that most Democrats in leadership positions in the United States Congress, in various leadership positions around the country, are nothing but sops. They're a Republican light. In some instances, they're worse than Republicans. You know the names. I've said them a million times. All right, here we are. If the Democrats don't stop this ascension to the Supreme Court, we're in a world of trouble. And that's the truth. And I'm sorry, I'm not finding something positive to talk about here with the nomination and apparent confirmation of Samuel Alito, but there's nothing there for me to see, and I can't make stuff up. But this is it. This is what it's come down to. It doesn't make any difference what Alito's position is on whether or not there's an implicit right to privacy in the U.S. Constitution, which would cover a woman's right to secure an abortion if she wants one. I realize that's a big issue to a lot of people, but you know what? That issue is so minuscule compared to what this neo-Nazi will do if he makes it to the Supreme Court. We have a break here. Goodbye, New York audience! Unless you want to pick us up on XM or the Internet, go to AirAmericaRadio.com and hit the listen icon. Quick break. We'll be back after the break. Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy. This is Air America.
On Air America Radio.
Our apologies, but in the interest of bettering the future of your teeth, we're going to resort to a rather unpleasant tactic. Coercion. We will play the sound of someone grinding their teeth at night until somebody out there buys a doctor's night guard. Wear it at night to cushion and save your teeth. Come on. Somebody? There. Thank you, Kelly Kaplan of Paramus, New Jersey, for buying a doctor's night guard and relieving the nightly grind in the oral care section.
Hello. I am the Ricola Mystery Cougher. If you hear me coughing and offer me a soothing, natural Ricola cough drop, I'll reward you with $1,000, $100,000, maybe $1 million. But be warned, I can be a man
or a woman.
So keep your Ricola cough drops on hand.
For clues and official rules, go to RicolaUSA.com. No purchase necessary. Game open to legal U.S. residents 18 years or older. Game begins 10-105 and ends 2-2806. Ricola!
Air America Radio News, I'm Jeff Weiser. The U.S. Senate has begun its hearings into the nomination of Samuel Alito to the Supreme Court. During Monday's opening hearing, the 55-year-old federal appeals judge told senators that a judge's duty is to uphold the law.
A judge can't have any agenda. A judge can't have any preferred outcome in any particular case. And a judge certainly doesn't have a client. The judge's only obligation, and it's a solemn obligation, is to the rule of law.
In sometimes heated opening statements, Senate Judiciary Committee Democrats told Alito they were concerned about his opinions on presidential power and a woman's right to an abortion. Republicans praised his accomplishments, calling him a fair judge. Legal analyst Royal Oak says Alito will face tougher questions from Democrats on the panel.
It was no surprise that the Democrats opened fire against the record of Judge Alito, his memos from the 80s questioning whether there's a right to abortion in the Constitution, various opinions he's written with his lengthy 15-year track record as a judge.
Senators begin questioning Alito later today. Doctors in Jerusalem are slowly bringing Israeli Prime Minister Ariel Sharon out of his medically induced coma and beginning to measure the physical aftermath of the stroke he suffered last week. Doctors say he is breathing on his own with the assistance of a respirator. He is showing some arm and leg response to stimuli. He remains in critical condition, though his surgeons believe he will survive the stroke. In light of Sharon's condition, questions have emerged about the Middle East peace process. Rhode Island Senator Lincoln Chafee, who is a member of the Senate Foreign Relations Committee, predicts a difficult time ahead for Israel and for the peace process.
New leaders have to emerge to push the peace process forward with the vision of a viable, contiguous Palestinian state being the goal. That's what we need.
Republican Chafee says that in addition to its withdrawal from the Gaza Strip, Israel must take other steps, which, coupled with the Palestinian pledge to cease hostilities against the Jewish state, will bring peace to the region. U.S. stocks rose for a fifth straight session, with the Dow closing above the 11,000 plateau for the first time since June of 2001. The Dow gained 53 points Monday to finish at 11,010. Financial analyst Jack Albertine says the market climb is a good sign.
Well, I'm very excited by both. I think the behavior of the market basically is an indication that the economy is really quite strong and moving forward.
The NASDAQ index rose 13 points to 2319, and the broader S&P 500 index improved 5 points to 1290. You're listening to Air America Radio News. I'm Jeff Weiser.
About 7 past the hour. Welcome back. Just got an email from our friends at rawstory.com. Aides to President George W. Bush are trying to identify all the photos that may exist of the president and Jack Abramoff together, according to Times White House correspondents Mike Allen and Matt Cooper. They're reporting in Monday's editions. It says here, bracing for the worst, administration officials obtained from the Secret Service a list of all the times Abramoff entered the White House complex, and they scrambled to determine the reason for each visit, Time reports. Abramoff attended Hanukkah and holiday events at the White House, according to an aide who has seen the list. Press Secretary Scott McClellan said Abramoff might have attended large gatherings with Bush, but added, quote, the president does not know him. Nor does the president recall ever meeting him, end quote. That's what Judas said about Jesus, wasn't it? Or something like that? Or Peter said, I mean, yeah. Anyway, they're trying to get all the pictures. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. These people just make me want to scream. Alito's position is consistent with Vice President Dick Cheney's statement, quote, the President of the United States needs to have his constitutional powers unimpaired, if you will, in terms of the conduct of national security policy, end quote. This is from American Progress Action Fund. According to the Boston Globe, quote, at this moment in American history, it would be hard to find a worse Supreme Court nominee than Samuel Alito Jr. His ideology captures everything extremist about the Bush administration. If confirmed, Alito will serve as Bush's enabler. Alito would help Bush, that's end quote from the Boston Globe, from American Progress. Alito would help Bush eavesdrop on Americans. As a Reagan administration lawyer in 1984, Alito wrote that the U.S. Attorney General, quote, should be shielded from being sued for approving illegal, warrantless wiretaps on the grounds of national security, end quote. The Supreme Court rejected Alito's immunity argument there, concluding it would be, quote, an invitation to deny people their constitutional rights, end quote. But Alito knew that 1984 was not the right time to win his case and argued that the administration's chance of winning immunity would be, quote, improved in a case involving a less controversial official and a less controversial era, end quote. Alito would help Bush bypass torture bans. Bush has issued at least 108 signing statements which lay out the president's interpretation of the law that he signs. In the past, presidents rarely issued such legal statements when signing bills, but in 1986, when Alito was working for former Attorney General Edwin Meese, the future nominee proposed that President Reagan issue signing statements more frequently. Thanks to Alito's 1986 work on signing statements, last week Bush quietly reserved the right to bypass restrictions on a bill outlawing the torture of detainees. Alito would help Bush weaken Congress, create an all-powerful executive branch. Alito's past speeches to the Conservative Federalist Society have shown a nominee with an expansive view of presidential powers. In a 1989 debate, Alito criticized the Supreme Court's decision to uphold the creation of independent counsels. In a 2000 speech, Alito endorsed the theory of the unitary executive, where all federal executive power is vested by the Constitution in the president. In 2004, Supreme Court Justice Clarence Thomas used this unitary executive theory to justify the president's unilateral power to lock up U.S. citizens. Now, it's not just Alito. John Yoo, who was one of the people who worked with Gonzalez to set up the torture programs. John Yoo publicly argued there is no law that could prevent the president from ordering the torture of a child of a suspect in custody, the torture of a child of a suspect in custody, including by crushing that child's testicles. This came out in response to a question in a December 1st debate in Chicago with Notre Dame professor and international human rights scholar Doug Kessel. What is particularly chilling and revealing about this is that John Yoo was a key architect post 9/11 Bush administration legal policy. As a deputy assistant to then Attorney General John Ashcroft, John Yoo authored a number of legal memos arguing for unlimited presidential powers to order torture of captive suspects and declare war anytime, anywhere, and on anyone the president deemed a threat. It has now come out that you also had a hand in providing legal reasoning for the president to conduct unauthorized wiretaps of U.S. citizens. Georgetown law professor David Cole wrote, quote, few lawyers have had more influence on President Bush's legal policies in the so-called war on terror than John Yoo. This part of the exchange during the debate with Doug Kessel reveals the logic of Yoo's theories adopted by this administration as bedrock principles in the real world. Kessel. Or Kessel, I think it's Kessel. If the president deems that he's got to torture somebody, including by crushing the testicles of the person's child, there's no law that can stop him? You. No treaty. Kessel. Also no law by Congress? That's what you wrote in the August 2002 memo. You. I think it depends on why the president thinks he needs to do that. Now, if you want the audio of this exchange, it's available online at revcom.us. R-E-V-C-O-M, revcom.us. You argues presidential powers on constitutional grounds, but where in the Constitution does it say the president could order the torture of children? As David Cole puts it, quote, and he's the law professor at Georgetown, you reason that because the Constitution makes the president the commander-in-chief, no law can restrict the actions he may take in pursuit of war. On this reasoning, the president would be entitled by the Constitution to resort to genocide if he wished. End quote. What is the position of the Bush administration on the torture of children, since one of its most influential legal architects, John Yoo, is advocating the president's right to order the crushing of a child's testicles? This fascist logic has nothing to do with getting information, as John Yoo has argued. The legal theory developed by Yoo and a few others and adopted by the administration has resulted in thousands being abducted from their homes in Afghanistan, Iraq, or other parts of the world, mostly at random. People have been raped, electrocuted, nearly drowned, and tortured literally to death in U.S.-run torture centers in Afghanistan, Iraq, and Guantanamo Bay. It is ironic that just prior to arguing the president's legal right to torture children, John Yoo was defensive about the Bush administration policies based on his legal memos being equated with those of Nazi Germany. Yoo said, quote, if you are trying to draw a moral equivalence between the Nazis and what the United States is trying to do in defending themselves against Al-Qaeda and the 9/11 attacks, I fully reject that. Second, if you're trying to equate the Bush administration to Nazi officials who committed atrocities in the Holocaust, I completely reject that too. I think to equate Nazi Germany to the Bush administration is irresponsible. End quote. If open promotion of unmitigated executive power, including the right to order the torture of innocent children, isn't a sufficient basis for drawing such a moral equivalence, then what is? John Yoo, Samuel Alito, Alberto Gonzalez, John Ashcroft. I'm telling you, truth seekers, the time is here. It really is. I think what all of us have to do, and I know we probably are tired of doing this, but we must. No emails, faxes, and phone calls to Democratic senators. Beg them, cajole them, threaten never to vote for them, whatever it takes, but tell them they must stop the ascension of this fascist to the Supreme Court. They have to. They've got to. We've got to make sure that they do. Trust me on this.
Mac and double fries. I want to wave my American standards high. I want to fly my flag across your sky. Welcome to the new American century.
You're listening to the Mike Malloy Show on Air America Radio.
One in four adults has high blood pressure. If you're one of them and you have a cold, Coricidin HBP has surprising news for you. The American Heart Association recognizes that decongestants found in many leading cold medicines can raise your blood pressure and interfere with blood pressure medication. So why risk it? Only decongestant-free Coricidin HBP provides a line of safe, powerful cold and flu medication specially formulated for people with high blood pressure. So make the safe choice. Coricidin HBP. Use as directed.
Honey?
Yeah?
Can you keep the kids busy? I'm doing our taxes.
Oh, that's right. We're using TurboTax this year.
Mm-hmm. And it's so easy. TurboTax asks these simple questions, and it automatically fills in all the right forms.
Really?
Uh-huh. TurboTax also checks for errors, and calculations are guaranteed accurate.
Well, what about deductions?
Found ones I didn't even think of.
Like those little tax deductions jumping on the sofa?
What?
The kids.
No, I remembered them.
TurboTax. Taxes made easy. Taxes done right. Learn more at TurboTax.com or visit a retailer near you.
It's time for your humble and obedient servant, more of Mike Malloy.
for when you're dancing to this and you're going against this. A move, slide, you're up, just for me. All to the boss.
Got an email from someone here that suggests that the problem with Cheney's foot, it's turning into a cloven hoof. All right, let's do some phone calls. Excuse me. Let's do some phone calls. Let's start with Eric in Minneapolis. Eric, welcome to the program. Thanks for holding on.
Thanks, Mike. How are you?
Doing fine. How are you?
Hey, I'm good. Did you hear anything on the news prior to Tom DeLay volunteering to step down? It sounded to me on the news that, and on all three of the major channels, that the Republicans were talking about taking him down.
Well, that's what happened. But it's the same thing that Newt Gingrich, I guess Newt Gingrich fought a little bit before he was tossed out on his ass after a $300,000 ethics fine. That's what cracks me up about Gingrich now, trying to come across like some moral arbiter of what the Republicans should and should not do. The move was on to get rid of DeLay, because DeLay is going to prison. DeLay is going to prison.
Oh, yeah.
And I think a couple of Nazi-like Republican members of the House saw a chance. They smelled the blood. They saw the feathers floating on the top of the water, and they decided to make a move.
Time to eat your own.
That's right. Time to feast at the corpse of the bug man. So his statement on the Capitol steps on Saturday, was it, with all those freaks behind him? I have no idea who those white people were, but there they all were. And his statement was simply to make it look as though he's got the interest of the Republican Party or the interest of the United States Constitution foremost in his evil, nasty, syphilitic heart.
Well, yeah, he's looking out for his friends. I like the way the way everybody in the administration and everybody taking sides with him. Whenever somebody makes a perfectly legitimate claim about him, their only response is, "I reject that."
Right.
Like that's got carries any weight whatsoever.
Yeah, I reject that. Okay.
I'm so sick of these fascist pigs, Mike. And anybody in Minnesota out there, Martin Sable, this guy's old. He's weak. He's just as sold out as the rest of them. We've got to do something about him. I'm not exactly sure what. The problem is the voting system itself is corrupt.
Right.
And
that has to be changed.
Yeah, it does. I mean, we have to be able. I'm not sure if independent runoff voting is the answer, or if we need a system where we vote more than once. And how do we do that?
Well, you work with people in your local community. We have them here in Georgia who are insisting that there be a paper trail, that the Diebold machines be thrown on the junk heap of history. You have to get involved, Eric, with people in your state, to the extent that your state is suffering from the same thing we're suffering from here in Georgia. That's the best advice I can give you. Don't give up. Just get organized.
One last thing, we got to reopen 9/11.
Well, that's
I don't know about. I'm not sure. It seems like it all started, but that just seemed like a big jump in the corruption, a big jump where the corruption initiated.
Right. Well, that's what gave Bush his dictatorial power. So that's what he claims gave him the powers. Because now you see, he's a war president. Hey, thanks for checking in, Eric. I appreciate it. All right, take care.
Tell Kathy, Rita Conti says thank you very much.
I'll do it. I'll do it, Eric. Thanks, Eric. Thanks. Appreciate it.
For a second there, I thought he was making fun of my voice. That wouldn't be possible. That wouldn't make me feel very good, you know.
Yeah, I know, Rita. In response to what he was talking about the voting thing, and just remember what the great organizer Saul Alinsky used to say in New York when he organized rent strikes, when he organized labor strikes. And if you don't know who Saul Alinsky is, S-A-U-L, Alinsky, A-L-I-N-S-K, look it up. Do a Google. Organize. 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 On the way to the Georgia Progressive Summit at Georgia State University on Sunday, where I was invited to speak, Kathy and I were driving. We missed a turn, so we had to drive by the Georgia State Capitol, downtown Atlanta. And across the street from the Capitol, this past weekend, there were all sorts of demonstrations, 130 cities demonstrations against this filthy, corrupt regime and its filthy, corrupt war. And we're driving down the street past the Capitol, and across the street there's a church. In front of the church, three women holding up signs, honk if you're against the war. Jesus Christ, my heart broke. Had we not been scheduled for this conference, we would have parked and gotten out. The conference that we attended was organizers here in Georgia who are going to fight tooth and nail to try to stop this, try to stop it in Georgia. There are 50 states. There should be 50 groups in all 50 states. There has got to be response to this. Please, please, please don't give up. Fight like a son of a bitch, because the country is in the balance here. It really is. And you've got to let your senator know, your Democratic senator, stop Alito.
This is the Mike Malloy Show on Air America Radio.
Our apologies, but in the interest of bettering the future of your teeth, we're going to resort to a rather unpleasant tactic. Coercion. We will play the sound of someone grinding their teeth at night until somebody out there buys a doctor's night guard. Wear it at night to cushion and save your teeth. Come on. Somebody? There. Thank you, Kelly Kaplan of Paramus, New Jersey, for buying a doctor's night guard and relieving the nightly grind in the oral care section.
Ever wonder who coined the phrase, "We eliminate the middleman"? Well, one thing's pretty certain. It wasn't the middleman. And how did they eliminate him? Something fishy there. But I digress. GEICO pioneered direct-to-consumer car insurance over 65 years ago, and they've been saving smart drivers money ever since. Give them a call, and you might ask them, what did they do with the middleman?
GEICO's customer satisfaction stands at 97%. How would you rate your car insurance company? GEICO, 1-800-947-AUTO. 15 minutes could save you 15%.
My name's Brian, and I've been suffering from psoriasis for over 15 years. And this product, Skin Zinc, it actually works. I love it because there's no steroids. You just spray it on, and it works. It's like having brand new skin.
I'm Janine, and I just want to tell everyone out there that Skin Zinc is amazing. I don't itch. Look, I'm in a t-shirt and shorts. I finally have a social life again. Just try it. It works. Believe me.
My name is Mark, and I've used everything there is to treat the dry, flaky skin on my arms. Skin Zinc helps. I don't know why doctors don't have this, but I'm telling you. They don't.
After using Skin Zinc, it's completely cleared up. Skin Zinc is phenomenal.
I tried Skin Zinc, and in about 1 week, I noticed that the rashes on my arms were going away. It works better than anything I've ever used, period.
Call right now for your in-home 30-day risk-free trial of Skin Zinc at 800-507-5896. That's 800-507-5896. Skin Zinc helps you eliminate psoriasis. Call 800-507-5896. Call now and get relief. 800-507-5896.
Six.
Has he mentioned yet tonight how much he hates these people? It's more of Mike Malloy.
26 before the hour. One thing I don't understand, John Yoo, the guy who has made a career here recently out of authoring legal memos arguing for unlimited presidential power, up to and including the torture of the children of a suspect. Not a suspect who's been charged with anything. Just a suspect. Torture. Crush the child's, if it's a little male child, crush its testicles if necessary, in front of the parent. And Bush's right to declare war anytime, anywhere on any country. John Yoo, the sick son of a bitch who writes this stuff, is a professor of law at the University of California at Berkeley. If he is advocating this sort of anti-constitutional, un-American activity on the part of this numb-headed freak in the White House, why isn't there a campaign in California to get him fired or at least initiate a tenure review process? The guy is teaching law at UC Berkeley. Unbelievable. Kevin is calling from New York. Kevin, welcome to the program. Thank you for holding on.
Hi, Mike. How are you?
Doing fine, Kevin.
All right. I became a fan of yours when you subbed for Randy Rhodes.
Well, great. Glad to hear it. Thank
you. And so now I download your podcast daily.
Good, good.
My question is, I took a history class last semester and learned a lot about Karl Marx, and his statement is always stays on my mind that governments are instituted to protect the interests of the bourgeoisie. And
okay, sure, absolutely.
And you see that so much with this this great move towards fascism. That the Bush administration is trying, mm-hmm. But my concern is that it seems as if the Democrats are somewhat in collusion with them. You see, Kerry, who's in the same, you know.
Hello, Kevin. Kevin, we lost Kevin. Damn it. Sorry about that, Kevin. As far as the Democrats maybe possibly being in collusion with the Republicans. Let me give you a capital hell yes. Hell yes. Not all the Democrats. There's a few. There's a handful. But the leaders in the Democratic Party? Hell yes. Absolutely. Our bureau chief at large, Jerky, is... phoning in here from God knows where. Jerky, welcome to the program.
Hi, Mike. Good evening.
Hey, how you doing, Jerky?
Not too bad.
Good.
Mike, what do you figure the odds are that the New York Times reporter David Rosenbaum, whose last story was about how Alito wrote memos arguing that top government officials should be exempt from prosecution if caught wiretapping American citizens without a warrant.
This was a murder.
Yeah, would end up being murdered while strolling through one of D.C.'s poshest neighborhoods just a few days before Alito's Supreme Court confirmation hearings in the Senate.
This is a political hit in the most brutal sense. This man was ordered killed by probably John Negroponte or Dick Cheney. When I saw that story, when I read the obituary in the New York Times, when was it, today?
Yep.
I just about lost my breakfast.
Well, you should check the online, the Washington Post updated article about it. There's more strange things, like even though they were in the one of the richest parts of Washington, D.C., it took 22 minutes for an ambulance to get there. Here, I've got the story up here right now. It just went online a couple hours ago.
At WashingtonPost.com?
Yeah, at WashingtonPost.com. They say normally it takes 10 minutes. Other problems slow the response. It took little time for police and a fire truck to arrive, but 22 minutes for an ambulance to reach the scene. They've launched a the fire department officials said that last night that they had launched an investigation to determine why it took so long. They said they strive to get an ambulance to such scenes within 10 minutes. In Rosenbaum's case, dispatchers sent the ambulance from Providence Hospital in Northeast Washington. One of the guys says, maybe everybody was booked on a run.
Oh,
but, so there's...
All right, now, just for people who don't know, repeat that. Rosenbaum was a well-known, he was in his 60s, well-known reporter for the New York Times.
Yeah, his last story was published on the 24th of December in the New York Times, and it was about how Alito, Judge Alito, who's today his first day in the Senate confirmation hearings, wrote memos saying that... top government officials, specifically the Attorney General, should be immune from prosecution if caught wiretapping American citizens without a warrant.
Yeah, this is back I quoted that. This is back in 89, I think.
That was the 89 one. The 84 one is the one you were talking about earlier. The one about the constitutional authority. Unitary executive privilege concept.
Right.
Yeah, how that basically the president can do whatever he wants.
Yeah, when I saw that obituary jerky, I really did. I don't very often anymore, but I did this time get a cold chill.
Yeah.
Because as far as I'm concerned, this is not a random mugging that resulted in somebody. Now he had two bullet wounds to the head.
It's blunt trauma, I think. The police didn't even, they thought he had a stroke. And
he was smashed in the back of the
head. He was smashed in the back of the head. They didn't take his watch. They didn't take his, he had some other expensive things, but they took his wallet. And
incredible.
Yeah, and you know, the other weird death this week was the death of, I'm trying to find her names, but Jack Abramoff. Apparently, this lawyer in London, who was a big Jack Abramoff crony back in the late 80s, early 90s, was caught on camera jumping from the fourth floor of a hotel,
mm-hmm.
And the newspapers in England kind of ran the images of her suicide, and so there's a bit of a controversy going on about that right now. Let me just try to find her name for you. But there's also I'm trying to check this up because I've found this fact on kind of like a weird parapolitical site, so I'm not 100% on this. But there's some people that are claiming that she was briefly married to Abramoff in the late 80s, and I'm trying to confirm that. I haven't found anything yet about that. But her name was Judith. Darn it! What's her name? Trying to find it. Well, I'll send you an email as soon as I find that information.
Okay.
And it's just Mike. This is probably the darkest time in living memory for America.
It is. These people are not screwing around. These people are murderers. They will smash somebody to death on the street. They will order hits. They will send somebody like Negroponte into Iraq to organize death squads and then put them into operation. These are bad times, Jerky.
Yeah. I just found her name is Catherine Ward. And
with a K or a C?
I'm sorry.
With a K or a C?
With a K, Catherine Ward, and she was a. There's speculation that she was Abramoff's ex, as he referred to in certain documents.
Now, this is being reported in the
right now, the time. Well, not the marriage, but her suicide and the uproar about various newspapers showing the images of her plummeting to her death in the Scotsman, which is a legitimate newspaper.
Oh yeah, great.
The Times Online, Co UK, and BBC. That about her suicide and about the uproar about it, but I just find it's a weird, you know. Again, Abramoff, just as he's in the thick of flushing down the toilet, seems like loose ends are being tied up in a particularly brutal way, kind of.
It's horrifying, and all this stuff is supposed to be just written off as it's just a sheer, absolute, mind stunning coincidence.
Yeah.
That especially that Rosenbaum would be murdered.
Yeah, Rosenbaum especially, yes. Yeah, life is cheap to some people, I think.
Yeah. All right, Jerky, thanks for checking in.
Thank you, Mike.
All right, take care. Someday we ought to tell people who Jerky really is. Just for the hell of it. Nah. Tina is calling from St. Paul, Minnesota. Tina, welcome to the program. Thanks for holding on.
Hi. Yeah. Hi. Oh, I was just listening to your caller there, and that's some really disturbing news.
yeah, very. It was in the Times today on the obituary page that Rosenbaum was murdered on the streets.
It reminds me of the whole Wellstone issue. I don't know if you've even heard of the conspiracy theories on him.
Oh, yeah, I had the author of that book. Hey, hold on, Tina. Hold on a second. I got to take a break here. Hold on. Just stop a second. We'll come back right after the break.
Can you wag? Can you wag? Oh.
The Mike Malloy Show on Air America Radio.
Tina, your face is all red. Are you okay?
I'm fine. It's just hot in here.
Hot? We're in the freezer aisle, Tina. You're having a hot flash.
Hot flash? Menopause? But I'm still getting my period.
It's not menopause yet.
But it could be changing hormones. When I got my first flash, my pharmacist told me to start taking Estroven. Estroven is all natural and can help reduce hot flashes, night sweats, and irritability.
I'm not irritable.
Right. And you don't need a prescription. It's in the vitamin aisle.
Let's go get Estroven now.
Hot flashes? It's just your body telling you it's time for Estroven. Use as directed.
Sir, what is your name?
Dave.
Well, Dave, you're scaring the other passengers. I have to ask you to remove the ski mask.
I have to filter out the bad air. Some of those people look terrible.
Sir, the ski mask.
Okay. How do you stay healthy breathing airplane air?
I take Emergen-C every day. The powder in the little packets, loaded with vitamin C, B vitamins, and essential minerals. Just mix it in your water.
It's fizzing.
That's Emergen-C. It gives your immune system a boost.
I gotta get Emergen-C. Until then, could you just drop my oxygen mask?
Emergen-C for life. Find it in the vitamin C section.
your day screaming with Mike Malloy on Air America Radio.
10 before the hour. One more little thing about David Rosenbaum. The New York Times, recently retired, just retired a couple of months ago, still wrote for the Times, murdered on the streets of D.C. The other night. For more than 25 years, he was a member of the steering committee of the Reporters Committee for the Freedom of the Press, a nonprofit organization devoted to protecting the First Amendment and reporters' legal rights. Thanks to our crew in New York for engineering tonight, Justin Yuen and resident rock star Jason Isaac. D. Neal answered your calls tonight and maintains the blog at airamericaradio.com/Mike Malloy. Our outside crew, Chris in Minnesota, Mark Marshall, and the militant mods at MikeMalloy.com, Ben Birch, WhiteRoseSociety.org, and Jim in Arkansas, our music bureau chief, Catherine Bays, our executive producer. Back to Tina in St. Paul. All right, Tina?
Yeah, well, we were talking about the Rosenbaum thing, and I also actually, over the last half hour, after listening to some of the stuff, I have, rather than comment, I have more of a couple of questions is... with the whole Alito thing and fighting, like trying to stop him from getting confirmed. My whole thing is, well, if the worst case scenario happens, he gets confirmed, how can we continue to fight whatever agenda that the Bush administration may have, and what effect, besides Roe versus Wade, which everybody keeps talking about, and they keep talking about abortion, which it's more than about abortion. It's about a woman's right to birth control and all that. But what can we do and what effect will it have? I mean...
I don't know what the response of the American people should be. I said earlier tonight, this this pretty much will tear it as far as the Bush crime family being granted absolute power.
I know.
That will come about when the absolute authority that Bush uses, disrespecting the legislative branch of government, finally works its way to the Supreme Court. There are enough right-wing ideologues on that court now that if Alito joins them, it's over. I mean, the fat lady sings. That's it. As far as representative government in this country, as we've known it, as it's metamorphosed and evolved over the past 230 years, it's gone. Now, what do we do about it? You know, some people may think that that's hyperbole for me to say that. I'm not the I'm not the only one saying that by any means. What to do about it, Tina? I don't know.
Yeah, that's pretty scary. It's scary stuff, and
I have no idea. I mean, we can fall back on the usual. Organize, 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 agitate, 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 take to the streets, do this, do that, get people elected, fight, 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 and I'm all for that.
Right.
But I don't know. I really don't know what to do. This man, this Alito, along with Fat Tony and what's his name, Thomas, and the other two right-wingers on that court, will absolutely forever end.
Mm-hmm.
What we've come to know as the great experiment in this country. I believe that with all my heart. I don't know. I don't know what will happen. Maybe nothing will happen. Maybe America will just decide to cruise along under a unitary form of government with a strong fascist overtones and wait for the end. You know, when the Chinese decide to cash in $1 trillion worth of banknotes that they hold on the United States. I don't know, Tina.
Yeah.
I wish I did.
Yeah. Pretty scary stuff.
It is indeed. Tina, thanks for checking in.
Thank you.
Appreciate hearing from you. No, I have no idea. I have no idea. Brian is calling from Colorado. Brian, welcome to the program. Thanks for your patience.
Thanks, Mike. I'm a fellow atheist, fellow progressive, and it's very nice to have an atheist in mass media.
Yeah, well, there's a bunch of us. They just don't make a big deal about it like I do.
Yeah, I'm very grateful that you do. I want to run this idea by you. I think anthrax and 9/11 need to be talked about in context with every other horror story that you bring up night after night that this executive branch gets away.
Well, I agree. It just becomes almost overwhelming. This Bush crime family has involved itself in more destruction, more death, more shredding of the Constitution, more illegal acts against Americans as well as people outside this country, that to try to get through the whole list, I know what you're saying, Brian, but try to get through the whole list every night, that we just don't have enough time in 3 hours. You know what I'm saying?
I understand that, but if we can just somehow, I know this might seem like a dream, but I want you to consider it, debunk 9/11 and anthrax. We take away this political power that this executive branch enjoys right now.
I know.
They wouldn't be getting away with as much. Our democratic leadership might show a little more spine if they knew that, you know, the public was...
I know, and that's a very difficult task because, you know, going back to what Goebbels or Goering or whoever it was in the Hitler regime who said, maybe it was Hitler himself, take a big lie and repeat it over and over and over again. Everybody in the government, repeat the big lie over and over, and eventually the people believe the big lie. The lies of 9/11 are so embedded now in the collective consciousness of most people in this country, and by most, I mean probably 80%, 90%, that I don't know what it's going to take to shake loose the idea that what occurred in this country on September 11th has been reported fully and honestly by media and government. That's a lie, and I don't know what it's going to take to work against that. Brian, I've got to leave it right there. No, I got to leave it right there. I'm sorry, pal. We're flat out of time. Thanks, Brian. We'll get you some other night when I don't leave you hanging on all that time. I apologize for that. Thanks for participating tonight. I do appreciate it. I'll see you tomorrow night. Take care, okay? Watch your back. I'm Mike Malloy. This is Air America Radio.
Malloy on Air America Radio.
He's a cop trained to stay cool under pressure. A sniper whose deadly accuracy guarantees no misses, no mistakes. Until he makes the shot and finds that he's the victim of a setup. Searching for answers. Alone. Alone. The New York Times bestselling thriller by Lisa Gardner, author of The Killing Hour. Alone, it's the last place a good cop wants to be. Read Alone by Lisa Gardner, now a Bantam paperback.
1 in 4 adults has high blood pressure. If you're one of them and you have a cold, Coricidin HBP has surprising news for you. The American Heart Association recognizes that decongestants found in many leading cold medicines can raise your blood pressure and interfere with blood pressure medication. So why risk it? Only decongestant-free Coricidin HBP provides a line of safe, powerful cold and flu medication specially formulated for people with high blood pressure. So make the safe choice. Coricidin HBP. Use as directed.